Hello and welcome to Spartan Speak, a weekly podcast of the Lansing State Journal and Detroit Free Press focused on Michigan State sports. I'm Phil Friend, your host, podcast producer, and sports writer for the LSJ, joined by Free Beat writer Chris Solari and LSJ sports columnist Graham Couch. What is up, fellas?
How you doing? You didn't say friend zone. We're in the friend zone.
I mean, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. I feel weird referring to a place.
Okay, then I will say we're in the friend zone.
If there is, it's understandable. I mean, it's a happy place, though. It's where all things melt away, and you can just be yourself and have a good time and listen to us and talk to us.
The outside world doesn't exist. There's no coronavirus in here, right?
That we know of.
I spent the bulk of middle school and high school in the friend zone. I know all about it. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm closing in on 40, and I've spent still most of my entire life in the friend zone. So anyway, that's another that's an off-season podcast for another day.
Podcast after dark.
All right. We got a lot to talk about here, as always. We will start things off. We'll talk about Sunday's big win over Ohio State, which gave Michigan State a share of the Big Ten title. And then from there, we will talk about the aforementioned coronavirus and how it's going to affect the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament going forward. And in a bigger picture, just sports in general. And then we will go over the all Big Ten teams and the respective awards certain players won. And then we'll round out today's podcast with a discussion on the Big Ten tournament, where Graham and Chris will make their picks for all the games and pick a Big Ten tournament champion. It is Tuesday afternoon. Time is a flat circle, guys. It is Tuesday afternoon here in the friend zone. So whenever you're listening to this, if there's been any newer news regarding the coronavirus, we will not be fully up to date on it.
But it seems to be moving rapidly.
Yes,
it does. And we'll get into that discussion here shortly. Let's do MSU, Ohio State, and Senior Day first. But then I think there's some interesting stuff we need to dive into.
Yeah. Yep. Talk about the Spartans banner, raising the banner, guys.
Yeah, no, look, I think it was a day that went about as perfect as it can, right? I mean, you get Cassius Winston playing like that, making sure you win. You have an opponent that's a worthy chore. Like, you had to play well to win. Ohio State's really good. And then you get to raise a banner. You get to say goodbye to Cassius Winston at Breslin and that senior class and the way you like to do it. And you know, in front of a home crowd that stuck around, obviously. I just think you couldn't ask for something better than what Michigan State got on Sunday.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you think about how everything transpired over the last 2.5 weeks. I think they were 2.5 games back, 3 games back at one point. And everything that needed to happened. But the most important thing was Michigan State started playing better. And you started to see the team kind of come together, start to share the ball more, start to run more, start to look like the team that early in the season you thought it could be, that kind of vanished for a while, and especially at home. I mean, we saw that all season at home for the most part, with the exception of that 2-game lull with Maryland and with Penn State. But even in those games, they had the ability to get themselves back in it and be in position to win those games. So it certainly was, from an atmosphere standpoint, one of the best that I can remember at Breslin. And everybody was kind of marveling at how nobody left after the game. And I think that was a direct result because of Cassius Winston and his connection to the community.
Yeah, people are used to that ceremony being after the game. It's 7-8 years now of that. And then also, I think the way how beloved he is and what he means and what he's gone through, and people wanting to hold on to that as long as they can. And you know, look, it was, I think they did, one thing I like that they've done too is they've done those videos where they talk, and it's taken the speeches out of it from all those guys, which used to be hard and awkward, and some were better than others
and long.
And now it's just Izzo saying a few words, and he was pretty good in that setting. But yeah, it was, and I think the other thing, look, it's a 10th Big Ten title for Izzo. He becomes the first Big Ten coach ever to win 3 straight twice. It's the first program to do that, period, since before World War II. And, I mean, that, you just think about what that puts. I mean, here's a guy who idolizes Gene Katie, idolizes Bobby Knight, and those people he came up with, and he is them now to the Big Ten. That's really, it really is just another reminder of what, and the fact that the first three-peat happened at the beginning of his tenure when he was trying to build it, and one happens 2 decades later is a pretty remarkable level of consistency without missing a single NCAA tournament in the middle of it.
And in the middle of all that, you know, this is the Big Ten tournament era. It's kind of changed, and that's still something that he values. And he's put
the regular season title.
Yeah, the regular season title.
That's the title.
Yeah. I mean, to him, and really
to everybody.
To everybody. That's the Big Ten title. I don't necessarily know. Maybe it's for Maryland and Penn State and those teams have just come along. But most of the programs, I mean, the established 10 programs, it's the regular season title that matters.
You know how they'll know it? When they first win a Big Ten tournament title, and instead of saying Big Ten championship on their banner, it says Big Ten tournament champions.
Right.
That's when they'll know they're not the actual Big Ten champions. I love that about the Big Ten.
And I love the 20-game schedule. It does bring that out a little bit more maybe than the 18. You do get more two plays. And it's still a little wonky to a point where, you know, you're not getting single plays anymore. Or you have single plays still, I should say, that sometimes dictate the race. And it alters things. But,
and Wisconsin, for example, had an easier stretch coming down the pike here. But Wisconsin also played extremely well. And I remember watching Wisconsin early on. They won at Ohio State. And I can't remember exactly when the date was. But it was when Ohio State was sort of peak Ohio State and then sort of fell off a cliff. But I remember watching how poised and Wisconsin was on the road and a little more versatile than I thought. And I thought, God, that team is actually okay. But to give you a great idea, and we'll get into this in the Big Ten tournament conversation, here's what you need to know about this league this year. And this is why I think there's value in winning it and the depth of it. The team that is the 12 seed in the Big Ten tournament was ahead by a point in the final minute against the team that's the one seed in the final week of the year. That's your separation right there. That's pretty incredible. And Michigan State is I think that Michigan State that I thought was playing basketball that was just sort of in the middle of the league, a little bit upper, but middle a lot of the season. And the last couple weeks here has found it as late as we've ever seen them find it.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that Minnesota-Maryland game. I mean, that's the difference between Michigan State being a one seed and a two seed right now is Daryl Morsell hitting that shot. I mean, if it's a two team tie with Wisconsin, Michigan State gets it. And it's crazy to think about that. And it's really crazy to think about some of those other games down the stretch that really dictated it. I mean, even the Michigan State game against Maryland. I mean, they're up 7 with 3 minutes to go.
But it's to their benefit.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get to play Ohio State probably in the second round and check out and be home by Saturday morning. Instead, they would have had to play maybe Michigan in the second round. And you know, then you're in a rivalry game or in their first game and in a rivalry game. And there's an intensity to that. I'm not saying you shy from that. I'm just saying it changes the vibe if it's Michigan versus Ohio State in that first game.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be Ohio State, but we'll get into that.
Maybe, oh, yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. Okay, Ohio State will play Purdue first before Michigan State. Anything you want to ask us here, Phil?
Not really.
I thought you were driving this engine.
I didn't know where you guys were going to go, so I was getting ready just in case I had to say something. So.
Oh, gotcha. That was the
So I will bring up one thing here. I thought Chris Holman's comments were pretty interesting about the kissing the S during the game. He got kind of upset that they were kind of prolonging the end of the game, made some comments to the refs about why can't they do this after the game. I will personally, I'll give them half a pass on this. I just think, I mean, we're all competitive people by nature. You're in a game where you were in it and then all of a sudden you're getting routed and sometimes you're just frustrated with how things progress and you get caught up in it and you say something you probably, you know, ultimately do not mean. That's my read on it. Now, obviously, a lot of people have a lot of different takes on that. But
I think here's a way of putting it. Who is worse? Is it Mark Turgeon's comments to BTN after about the 9 o'clock tip in Minnesota or is it Chris Holtmann? And I say it's Turgeon, right? Because Holtmann is heat of the battle. You're frustrated. Your team's losing. And in his defense, one thing Michigan State does need to tighten up a little bit is how quickly those guys get off the court. Like the first one with Kyle Arnes was like he walked around. They were all spread out and hugged everybody, and it took a while. And I remember thinking as that was happening, pick the pace up just a little bit. You don't need quite that there. You know, hug the guy closest to you, kiss the floor, wave, get off. And because I think right now it's tough.
I mean, you got 4 or 5 years building to that moment. Sure. I mean, because it's become such an integral part of the program. I mean, you want guys to savor. And I thought Izzo talked about with Cassius Winston leaving him in there until there's 9.4 seconds left so he could just soak it all in.
And Holtmann felt bad about it, right? He called Larry Lage, I think, I think it was one of those things where he has not been in the league all that long, first of all. And so you give him a little bit of a break on that. It's not like he's some longtime assistant who's been part of Michigan State Senior Day. And
right, and I thought that you look at the difference though, and Brad Underwood hadn't been around it either, but he understood
Tum-Tum, yeah,
what it meant, and the handshake with Tum-Tum, and, yep, and then Izzo saying down thank you for, yep, that. I mean, that's, you know, that's the sport. There's a sportsmanship element that comes with it, but you're right though, at the same point, you're trying to win a game, well, and you get to a certain point where you realize it's not happening, and
you're frustrated.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. Also, there's a way to stop that. If you make that a 1 point
in the game,
being in the game, they can't take catches when it's not. You can't, right, turn the ball over intentionally if it's a 2 point game. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and that's at this level of big boy basketball, you do that. And I don't think it's a big deal. I think Holtman would absolutely handle it differently if he could again. And I think he will if he's in that situation again. And I also think, you know, I think Holtman's a really good coach. I think people recognize that. And so I don't, yes, think this will follow him at all.
I believe Fran McCaffrey made similar comments a couple years ago. I mean, I didn't go back and fact check this, but I saw some people talking about it on Twitter.
Yeah, but that's just Fran being Fran.
Yeah, Fran gets less of a pass because his face and all. Like he,
I don't know about you guys, but I think Fran is all sunshine and roses all the time.
What did you guys think of that video of Brad Underwood signing the forehead on the Fran McCaffrey poster?
I loved every second of it.
Speaking of kissing the S, going into that, I wondered if they would actually kiss the S. I thought maybe they would just lean down and get close and not touch it, but with the coronavirus fears and everything. But nope, everyone went down and kissed the floor, and especially in Arns and Winston's case, a little longer. Lips were on the, yep, floor a little longer than I would have expected.
What's funny is, I mean, this is after you've had, what, 60 minutes of basketball, yep, with guys sliding their sweaty bodies all over it, band members, cheerleaders, and everybody else kissing it, sneakers,
and all over it. Yeah, and while not a case yet of coronavirus in Michigan, this was all the students coming back from spring break, so you assume there might be one in the crowd you just don't know about there. It is going to get fascinating. I think we should transition to that right now. Yep. And as we're recording this, you're starting to see, as Chris just showed me, the Washington Post editor saying all employees should work from home. The Ohio
if
governor,
they can, if they can.
The Ohio, yeah, governor saying that he's advising that they shouldn't have sporting crowds at sporting events, which is Dayton in the NCAA tournament, the opening rounds. It's certainly Cleveland, where Michigan State could wind up. And so that's, I think I wrote this a week ago. You could feel the momentum on this. I would have bet, if I had to bet either way, that there wouldn't be fans at games. And I know people say, oh, that's not what we're intending. Look, when these things get moving, they get moving. I'm not just talking about the virus. I'm talking about momentum of reaction. And there's a lot of what's an overreaction, what's an appropriate reaction. And one of the big problems we have right now is that we were late on this. We're not leading in the world. People don't trust the government in this entirely, and I think they're trying to play catch-up because you have one network that's reporting every 90-year-old who catches the virus in a nursing home in Washington like it's Ebola, and then you have...
I mean, but let's face it. I mean, you might say it's like Ebola. We're still trying to process what this is.
But you have another one that's basically calling it fake and calling it a sham to get the president out of office. So, you know, we're not being told... There was a day and age where you get something this serious... And you really, right now, one place is sensationalizing it, the other place is downplaying it, and nobody really knows what to believe. And then you have a country like Italy with a terrific medical system that's at its breaking point right now, and everybody's quarantined. And if you look at them 10 days ago, they weren't that different than what we are now, yep, as a country.
And they've completely suspended Serie A, their, yeah, soccer league, which is crazy.
So, like, I think people are trying to get their arms around what should be, because what you don't want to do, right, you don't want to have, like, I wouldn't be stunned if we're not in Indianapolis. I wouldn't be stunned. I think it'll happen, but I wouldn't, yeah, be because
well, you I wouldn't be stunned if the fans aren't there though.
No.
I think the media may be allowed in, and maybe a press conference situation, but it wouldn't surprise me if that happened just because of the way things are going.
And by the way,
the Ivy League on Tuesday, right before Izzo's press conference, canceled their entire tournament. I don't see that happening. But partly, I mean, there are real concerns here, yeah, from a monetary standpoint. I mean, you see where the, yeah, stock markets are going. If you've been following the South by Southwest situation, yeah, they've laid off a bunch of employees because they may not have a show next year. They, yeah, may not have that concert series next year because of the money that's lost. So there's a real financial implication with this. It is the biggest revenue driver in the NCAA. There's, yep, no question about that. It trickles down to every other level. It's not the Division III tournament where
although
you can
most
get
of their
away
money
with
is TV money, which helps.
But that's the other part of, yeah, it. It is TV money. Now the host sites, because they rotate, because they revolve, they may take a little bit of a hit, but it won't be. Because it's not a static situation in one spot all the time, you know, even the Big Ten tournament, I mean, it rotates now. So, it's going to be a curious few days to see where the response is. I mean, they've got a team assembled at the NCAA looking into it. I would assume, and actually kind of know, that the Big Ten and other conferences have been talking about this. And, you know, if you have to be.
What you don't want to do is you don't want to hold it as normal, and then you wind up being the place that was the epicenter of an outbreak in Indianapolis.
Matt Gaetz.
So the other thing I'll say is if we're going to ban reporters from locker rooms, then once you've gone that step, you ban fans. Like, what's worse, 20,000 fans? And why are we protecting athletes above other people? Like, they're more important. Like, I'll be honest, the number of teams I've been around, the way they handle, the way they handle germs compared to the way I handle germs, I need protection, not them. Because I've seen Brandon Dawson with the flu on the bench. I've seen this entire Michigan State basketball team play sick.
They just had a flu outbreak or whatever earlier this season.
About a month or two ago. And you know, people are saying, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Hey, that's every day, folks. Like, I'm not glad for coronavirus, but nobody should ever touch their face. Understand that, because that's how germs are spread. Don't touch your nose. Don't touch your ears. Wash your hands. No school should ever have attendance policies, because that's how kids come to school sick and we have outbreaks. These are all things that should have been in place 50 years ago. And now we're talking about it? Come on, people. Let's
not stray too far from the topic at hand.
I'm sorry. We
know you're a germaphobe. But hold on. You've always been. You play pickup basketball where you're sharing germs on a basketball all the time, wiping sweat off your face. So, you know, that's the reality.
I'm not a germaphobe.
Do you wipe your face during a pickup game?
Not a lot. Only with my shirt. I'm not a germaphobe.
How's that any different? You're still wearing the shirt and other people are going to touch it.
Usually with a towel between games. But I'm not a...
You share the towel?
No. Oh, God, no.
What's that? Teams do. Well,
teams are less clean than me. That's what I'm saying. Don't let us not in the locker room.
And I get what you're saying about it. I mean, the reporter, there's no physical contact. There is physical contact with refs. Shannon Ryan put this out. Who has the most physical contact? Players and refs, coaches and players and each other. I mean, that's if you're talking about it. And I think, to me, this is going to be a major test for the NCAA and these conferences of what they talk about. Not necessarily what the actuality is. We know what the actuality is. Money drives everything.
Yeah.
The $1 billion contract drives everything.
Student athlete welfare is something that
has been used. Why don't we have a college football playoff, a true college football playoff? Because, well, we're worried about their health and welfare. This is an actual health and welfare issue that's going on.
You're bringing buses of students from your campuses and other things in. Yeah. There's a lot of, and to be honest, and one of the reasons this is a hard topic for all of us is we're passionate about March Madness, right? I'm not a germaphobe because I'm scared of germs. I'm a germaphobe because when you get sick, you miss out on things in life, and I can't stand that. That's when I joked today with you earlier that even if the death toll is higher, I would sign a waiver to allow me to be part of March Madness.
Which is ironic in so many ways.
Yeah, because I would happily quarantine for the next 4 months to get to do a normal March Madness. That's how much I love March Madness. And I hate the idea that it's gone, but you have to be mature about it too and say that this is going to be different, that this is going to be partly ruined, and that you just got to keep some of those angry feelings.
And you also have to be realistic. What is it? What is it? This isn't.
You're all over the board here. I love it. But
what is it though? It's sports. It's a diversion from real life, but this is real life intruding on it. And real life and death. Okay. I mean, there are people dying. I mean, I know the demographics that are different, but let's face it, college basketball has a wide swath of people from the youngest of young to the oldest of old that go to these games that are in the crowd, you know, so you have sometimes 15, 20, 40, 50, 70, 80,000 people at a championship game. I mean, that's a realistic situation, and that's not even counting outside events.
And coming
that's
from all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. From the Big Ten, if they're going to do that, it needs to be done post-haste. I mean, it needs to be done Tuesday as we record this because people are starting to arrive. Games start Wednesday. Games are on Thursday. So you can't expect and have people traveling to Indianapolis. And I'll tell you this. The hotel rooms in downtown Indianapolis have plummeted.
Yes.
Like, you know, this full stay that I was going to have, I was going to stay downtown, and it was going to be about $1,200, $1,400. I decided to stay out by the airport.
Yep.
By Monday, it was in half. It was half the cost. So you're already seeing the financial ramifications of it just from an Indianapolis standpoint.
Yeah, I was going back to your signing a waiver comment here. The thing is, like, if you gave that option to a lot of people, they would probably sign the waiver anyway and just hope for the best. And that's how that thing spreads.
Well, you'd have to. They did the Premier League too, which and you start to get all sorts of ageism issues in the Premier League. Wasn't there something where you had to be nobody over 65 and stuff like that? There were all sorts of rules because those are the most vulnerable people.
Right.
And I don't even know if you could technically that we know do that right in this now, country. You know? If you could,
I thought Tom Izzo, he gave about a 5.5 minute discussion about it, and I thought it was pretty measured, and you know, it's an Izzo way in a lot of ways, you know, where he's like, I'm gonna shake people's hands, I'm not gonna be elbow bumping and hip bumping and all that stuff, I'm gonna shake their hands, I don't live precautiously, which was a new word that didn't show up in my spell check.
The white elephant in the room.
Yes. Yeah. But at the same point, he also is like, I'm still going to listen to what the doctors tell us to do. I'm going to listen to what the medical experts say. If they say play in an empty arena, I'll play in an empty arena. If they say play in full arenas, I'll play in full arenas. And that's really, and I think, you know, sometimes the way he says it doesn't get enough. It gets too much of the attention as opposed to what he is saying. He's basically saying, we're coaches in a sport. It's out of our hands. Other people that we're putting our trust in are the medical professionals who do it.
It will affect the games, though, if there's no crowd. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, like when you go to Maui and you see a small gym, it affects the game because it feels like a different vibe to smaller teams. Like if you have no crowd, it becomes much more – it favors underdogs because it becomes much more – this is me versus this dude on a playground. The jersey may say Kansas or Michigan State. I don't really care anymore.
Here's also the thing. These guys have played so many games of basketball in front of zero fans their entire life. So I'm not that concerned about that. I mean, obviously, the fan having fans there makes the games much more better. Yeah. But these guys have played so many games and practices and scrimmages.
Oh, it's not,
but not in front of people.
But here's the difference. The difference between that is they're playing them in the Maui gym. They're playing them in those small environments. These are massive, megalithic arenas, as I make up a word.
It will be weird.
It would be very weird if that's what comes to fruition.
And I think what's tough for me is, you know, what has to maybe be done, but you want the balance between, and this is why how piss poor our government has been with information is a problem now, because I don't think a lot of people really know how worried to be, right? And so what you don't want to do is ruin something unnecessarily. Like if we need not to have this whole tournament, or we need to truly not have fans there, then that needs to be done, and we all understand that. I think when you love something though, where I will be upset is if we wind up canceling something out of an abundance of precaution that was not informed precaution, and it winds up being something that we didn't need to do.
So here's the thing about the precaution: like if this thing goes away in 2 months, you're going to hear so many people saying, well, we didn't need to cancel everything, blah, blah, blah.
But here's
the thing,
but
we canceled it.
Why.
Yeah.
Right. It's a fluid situation. I mean, that's the thing that people aren't taking into account here. What was said a week ago, 2 weeks ago changes. And that's because it's a fluid situation. You know, people are relying on information from a week or two ago that may have changed.
And you can't delay the NCAA tournament like you can the Olympics, right? The Olympics aren't every 4 years. It's a different sort of calendar. The NCAA tournament, these guys graduate. Some guys goes on to the NBA.
I mean, you could, though. I mean, you could, depending on how things transpire.
Well, if I could sign
up. I mean, that's the thing. It would have to – I mean, this would obviously be a complete
– Yeah.
There's no precedent for it, but you would have to set one.
Yeah.
And how you do it.
Or something, which would be maybe. Weird. But yeah.
I mean, Ohio State's talking about canceling classes. Michigan State's talking about doing online classes. I mean, if you were worried and concerned about your student body at large, why aren't you worried about this?
So I was talking
because of the money.
So people teach at like Lansing Community College here. Like some people have students who don't have laptops. Like, I mean, I guess if you go that way, you better be able to provide that for students too, because otherwise, that's not really a fair experience.
And I'm under the impression that we go back to the Justin Fields thing from the fall. I think most Ohio State athletes already take all online classes anyway, so just branch that out to everybody, you know?
Yeah, it's not a great way to learn. It's kind of a fraudulent degree, but whatever, it's fine. But
yeah, it's different, though. The times have changed since you were in college.
I know, but it's not. I'm telling you what, you are a less educated fool if you get through 4 years of all
this. How much time in those extra classes were you 25 to 50% paying attention?
Man, I'm telling you, a great lecture is a great lecture, and it's better in person. It's better in the lecture.
Oh, I agree with that, but you're still getting the information. It's how you deal with it.
I think we're all misremembering how much we enjoyed lectures in college.
Listen, I probably would have attended a heck of a lot more at 8 a.m. if I would have just had to wake up and stroll across the room to my desk.
And I'll be honest, I'm still in the zone where I'm not taking some... I mean, my mother canceled a trip to France. She's not over there this week. But I'm still in the zone where I'm not truly taking it seriously, because my concern is will my NCAA tournament experience be ruined? And that's what I enjoy. That's where I'm still in that selfish mode. Let me sign up to cancel the Olympics instead of play the NCAA tournament.
And so are a lot of people on my Facebook feed and Twitter timeline.
And that's where we are. And so we are not yet, and because we don't really have a case in Michigan yet, and doesn't affect our individual lives yet. We are yet to take it seriously. But this will be, and look, here's the thing, as you brought up a minute ago, at the end of the day, if it doesn't affect most of us adversely and we do cancel it, that might be the reason. And we start canceling things, or we do start quarantining, and we're going to have to be mature enough to deal with it, even if we're a little ticked off.
Unfortunately, I've seen enough on social media in my life to know that we will not handle it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Big picture, your life's still going to go on.
You hope.
I mean, you know what would be a great example of that? Baseball and NFL and NHL and NBA seasons that have been canceled because of lockouts.
Right, and I was bitter about those. I'm not saying I'm
right, but life goes on. Yeah. I mean, you still lived your life, right. It wasn't a life and death matter for people. This is.
It's a great point, Chris. I mean, we might be all watching all these NCAA touring games in front of people with no fans, but it'll be fine.
It's a diversion from real life, but this is real life intruding on.
From talking a couple of people, I think this is where the core of one concern for Michigan State people is. Will this ruin the Tillman-Winston national title experience? If you were to win a national title this year, would it be less? Would it always be the year of the coronavirus? Would it be something different? You know what I mean?
It will be the year of the coronavirus, but it'll be okay.
Yeah, it'll be okay.
Again, but that's where I think people's heads are more right now than the actual
Michigan
virus
State
itself.
Fans, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that strike shortened seasons of champions that still have the championship.
They still raise a banner.
And it's not like you're changing the element of the competition. You may be changing the environment of the competition, but not the fact that you still got to have, if you are going to play it, and if you do play it, and this is again floating it under an empty arena, the environment might change, but you still got the same game, still got the same ball, still got the same players. Yeah. Still got the same refs, unfortunately, too. So expect, and maybe refs wouldn't be swayed by crowds.
You might get better officiating.
Yeah.
Actually, you will get fewer momentum swings. That is for sure. Like, think about,
you still get 12 fouls in one half and 24
everyone
in the
still
next,
gets so. 2,000 timeouts, so yeah, we'll have to sit through all those.
That's true. That's true.
Especially with the TV involved. All right.
That would be the weird part. If you have TV timeouts in the middle of a tournament game with nobody there, with no crowd environment. Also, let's not forget, what would Red Panda do?
Oh, I mean, she'll show up still, right?
Quick change. I mean, you know, this is their time of year to shine.
All right, let's move on to the All Big Ten picks, which were announced on Monday. The first team for the coaches was Luca Garza from Iowa, Anthony Cowan Jr. from Maryland, Jalen Smith from Maryland, Cassius Winston from Michigan State, and Lamar Stevens from Penn State. And from the media, it was four of those five, with Ayo Dumansu from Illinois in for Cowan. And then player of the year was Luca Garza, defensive player of the year Xavier Tillman from Michigan State. Kofi Cockburn was the freshman of the year from Illinois, and Greg Gard of Wisconsin, coach of the year. Thoughts? Any takes on that?
We should start by mentioning that neither one of us is an actual voter in the media portion of it right now, and so
it rotates.
We didn't have any actual say in this. We did do our own USA Today Network ballots were out there, and I took a little bit of grief for that.
A little bit.
Just a smidgen.
Had Xavier Tillman on the first team, unlike everybody else, but did have Cassius Winston on the second team as kind of the sixth guy. And MSU fans have let me know that they disagree, some of them civilly, others not as much. And I'll say this. There is a great argument. First of all, Cassius Winston made the first team, and there's an argument for him to be on the first team. You could even convince me of that argument. But when you make the argument followed by insults, it shows your passion for him is greater than your reason. In other words, it sort of takes out your argument. And some of the arguments are so ignorant about me, about my reasons for it, they're far more ignorant than my actual ballot themselves. I would say that. That's the other thing. You know, like, you can argue, like, I don't think this is as far-fetched, even if you disagree with me. It's not as far-fetched as some people have made it out to be. Like, do we not just watch Cassius Winston from about January 10th to February 20th struggle mightily certain days for a good reason? And I know the analytics say one thing, but this is one time that I really think the analytics don't show everything. They don't show toughness. They don't show edge. They don't show situational basketball. The reason they were down 19-4 on the road at times, 18-4, his starts. If you want to look at Maryland at Michigan State, just take one snapshot of a game. Look at the analytics of that game. Does KenPom show Anthony Cowan better than Cassius Winston. I had Cowan on the second team too, but Cowan was the better player that day. He had that edge. He hit the big shots. Like, the big shots matter. And Cassius hit a ton of them, but he also struggled for a long time. A lot of people got on me for the AO Dosunmu being on that instead of him. If you want to come at me, Dosunmu is not the argument. It's Lamar Stevens. That's where there's Lamar struggled at the end. I thought there were some decent reasons for it. I thought he was really good most of the Big Ten season. And we were told it was positionless. If you gave me one point guard, I'd make it Cassius Winston. If I had to pick one guy in the Big Ten, including Luka Garza, to go into the NCAA tournament with, I'd make it Cassius Winston. But I thought
you had Jalen Smith on there, correct?
Yeah, I had two no-brainers, Luka Garza, Jalen Smith. I thought Tillman had a better year and was more impactful than Winston, so I put Tillman. And then it came down to AO, Garza, Winston, Cowan. Those four for the two spots. And, you know, look, I don't think it's an insult to put somebody as a second teamer, as a top second teamer, because if there were six spots, Cassius Winston would have been on it. If there were six spots, like Mateen Cleaves was the sixth guy, I think, in 2000, when there were six for somehow, nobody would have cared. It's that there are five spots, and you see it second team, you see it as an affront to Winston. And look, I've seen the analytics. I get it. The analytics also say MSU was twice as good as anybody else in the Big Ten this year. Any of us who watched Michigan State play most of that Big Ten season just know that wasn't the case.
Yeah, but there were guys that struggled in the Big Ten compared to some of their early season. I think Stick Smith was maybe one of them. His numbers weren't as great as they were non-conference.
You're talking about Jalen Smith?
Yeah.
Jalen was pretty good.
You know, but I went with more of the traditional
lineup.
You have to have – I mean, listen, I mean, that's, I voted in the AP poll for all Big Ten, and that was the parameters there, is you have to be able to put this lineup on the court. I mean, you can't put your lineup on a court, which is a little different. And again, that's when you say positionless basketball, you still have to have a point guard. I mean, regardless of positionless basketball.
AO runs the point a lot for Illinois. But no, to your point, though, my original five actually had Winston on it, because in the original five, that's what I saw, the thing that we were sent from the Free Press sports editor, and I thought, okay, it's supposed to be my position. Then there's a later follow-up email that says, you know, you ought to be able to put him on the court. If you have four guards, you should have a center, but, you know, it's not. So I just basically went with my top five. And I wasn't, I thought, you know, look, I knew some people might think Winston belonged there, but nobody's brought up the point that Tillman was, I had Tillman on the first team and a lot of people didn't. Like, I don't see
how. Some people did. Yeah, some people did.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm not, it's not that big a deal. People get over it real quick. Al Wilson, one of our editors here in the newsroom, said he was never going to read me again yesterday. And now he's over it. So people get over it.
He has to, actually.
What's that?
I believe he's contractually obligated to read.
Well, that's the problem. He's got to read my stuff. But he was threatening. And so there are, I get why people are upset. And I welcome the disagreement. I don't mind disagreeing. You could convince me otherwise. People think I do it for attention or clicks. Like, I would argue this. Click what? Like, what are you clicking? It's a time suck. It takes half my morning responding to people on Twitter. I get no monetary value out of it. I got plenty of exposure in this world, probably overexposure in some ways. Know me before you're so certain about my motives on things like this. I just put the ballot in I thought was right. And what's funny is I didn't even think anything of it. I didn't even have to list that for other people. And just, we were allowed to, and I thought, oh, people would be interested in what I had. Didn't think a thing of it. Like, half an hour later, I was like, this is going to be a problem.
Yeah, and I thought there were some compelling arguments, especially, you know, when I'm doing mine based on positions. You know, Lamar Stevens or Jalen Smith, I'm putting at the small forward spot, because you got Tillman versus Aturu, and I liked Aturu's game. He had less around him and still
Jalen
did
Smith's
a lot.
Played center, you know? Too, and we're playing with small forwards, so it's not,
So I mean, all, you know, the reality is, if you talk about how close this league was in a lot of ways this year on the court, team-wise, I mean, a lot of it talent-wise, I think, was there in that top 10 guys. I mean, there's no wrong. I mean, I think there's interchangeable guys that really could go there. But to me, you know, it was Garza and Winston for sure on the first team, and then the other guys. I mean, I could make a case for Tillman on the first team. I could make a case for Smith on the first team, Cowan on the first team. And there's a reason that you're all Big Ten. And it's, you know, a lot of it's just based on how you deal with it and what you see, sometimes when you see them.
But that's okay. So here's the negative for Winston. I would say this. You know, I watch a lot of Big Ten basketball. My wife moved home late in the season, so I had a lot of time, a lot of nights where that's what I do. I watch Big Ten hoops. I will see if I can continue that. I've always said that if you want to be an AP voter or want a lot of hoops, you really can't be in a happy marriage. It's not where I have kids
that's
or anything.
True.
But I do consider mine a happy marriage. She was just living in a different state while she was working. But the I watch a lot of Big Ten hoops, and I saw the shots from AO to beat Michigan, to beat Wisconsin on the road, just the I think he would have hit a shot to beat Michigan State if he hadn't hurt his knee. I mean, I think he was going to make and take that, or take and make that. And I also, though, saw all of Cassius Winston's struggles. I saw the glossed over eyes. I saw the just not being there. And there were good reasons for it. I saw basketball not really being his priority. And I saw a lot of it. So I did get to see the struggle that was real for Winston and the times that he wasn't all that great on the court for a lot big swath of that Big Ten season. And so that may have worked to his detriment in my vote, in the sense that I don't see some of the other guys' struggles right. night in, night out, and I see Winston's. And so I've talked to coaches about it, and I've talked to him about it. And so you wind up with this idea that, like, I don't think Cassius Winston would be offended by being number six in the Big Ten in terms of not players. I consider him two or three all-time at Michigan State. I'm talking about who had the best Big Ten season. That is what I am voting on. Who had the best Big Ten season? I had five guys who I thought had better Big Ten seasons. You can argue otherwise, but it's not as big as you want. And the people who are strictly analytics on this, there are some things that analytics do not measure. Because otherwise, Cassius Winston is if you just want to look at efficiency ratings, Cassius Winston's your player of the year in college basketball every year, going back to his sophomore year, just about.
Yeah, and then he hits 10 of 14 shots in his final game. I mean,
well, there's an argument, and you can make that, and I have no problem with it. I have no problem with the people disagreeing with me, because yeah. I may have been wrong. I'm just saying that it's people's reaction is not my reason to change my vote. Convince me with the argument, not by calling me a freaking moron. You know,
we'll still do it anyways.
But, well, I am. Look, if you want to call me a fat moron, you're not wrong. I'm just saying, you know, it hurts your argument though.
It's beneath you.
All right, our final topic for today is the Big Ten men's basketball tournament. We are going to go game by game here and make our picks, and I'll see if I can remember what Graham and Chris said throughout, and we'll see how that goes. We will start with the first round, game one, number 13 Northwestern versus number 12 Minnesota. Chris, you've got yours filled out there, so you can go first.
Yeah, this is Minnesota all day, every day, because Northwestern, period.
And I also think Minnesota is the rare 12 seed that thinks they can win this thing. Now, yeah. they can't, because 5 games in 5 days kills your legs. Like, they can beat everybody on this, every team. The problem is, at some point you have a day where your legs are just gone.
Yeah.
But they think they can win it. And so, although, you know, Northwestern just had a big win over Penn State, I think they have a little bit of
confidence.
And listen,
you're one of those teams that's got that inside-outside combination yep. that can make deep runs in one-or-done situations with Carr and Aturu.
Agreed.
All right. Number 14, Nebraska versus number 11, Indiana.
Is that me or Chris?
That's you.
Oh, me?
Surprise me.
I'll go surprise we'll go Indiana, because, number one, Nebraska's playing without two of its top three scorers who have been suspended.
They got some football players, though.
They had some football players. They're ready for their season to be over, and Indiana cannot lose that game. Like, there are not – you know, one of the reasons Michigan State's floor, I believe, is an NCAA seed, is a 3 seed, is because there are no bad losses to be had left for Michigan State, right? For most of these teams, there aren't. But there is for Indiana, and for a team that's nobody's 100% sure they're in yet. They've got a lot of really good wins, a lot of quad one, quad two wins, and they probably are in. You don't want to mess with that. And so I think they'll be motivated. They're a lot better team. I think Indiana wins.
All right, moving on to the second round, number 9 Michigan versus number 8 Rutgers.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one, I think. I mean, Rutgers, in that similar situation, I think that I'm pretty sure they're in too, but the better they can build their resume, the deeper they can get. Michigan's going to be kind of trying to fight for any sort of relevancy with this, but I just think that, to me, the way Rutgers has played, you know, in the way Pikel has coached, and I loved your pick on Pikel for Coach of the Year, but Greg Gard, I still thought, did too much
yeah.
with the situation that came up with guys suspended and
sure
and
no
guy,
he did an amazing
Kobe
job.
King leaving the team. I mean, you know, he beat Michigan State without Kobe King and Brad Davison. So, but anyways, back to Rutgers. I think Rutgers, to me, wins that game and moves on.
So yeah, and I, just to piggyback on that, when the Pikel thing, Guard at least had, like, you can look at certain teams, and Greg Guard had a team that a program that at least has a winning culture. Like, those guys know how to win. Like, at Rutgers, they'd never done it before, and he's built something I think sustainable, and that's why I went with him. I actually like Michigan. I think both these teams think they can win the tournament. I think that's what's interesting. Michigan needs to find it a little bit. I really like Michigan's roster. I think Michigan finds. I think the winner of that game beats Wisconsin too, because there is an advantage.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There is a huge advantage, and Izzo alluded to this to his press conference on Tuesday. There is an advantage to playing the day before in these games. At a certain point, that advantage wears out because you played too many games in a row. But when you're the team that got something going the day before, and that it there is an advantage.
Ohio State's game against Michigan State last year is a great example of that.
And so we'll see. You know, game four in 4 days, is the day that your legs usually wear out. Like, I've seen that in a lot of conference tournaments. Great runs, like, wow, three games, and then game four, it's like, wow, that team shot 21%.
Second round, game two, you guys both picked Minnesota versus Iowa.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with Iowa here. I think Iowa's got I think it'll be a good game just because I think, you know, there's that inherent rivalry there with those two programs, and Minnesota obviously kind of playing for pride at that point. But I think that Iowa's just got too much.
I think Minnesota believes they can win. I think they can win that game. I just like Iowa's roster. I think Iowa's a really good team, and I think they've got a little more, unless they're playing Purdue, they've got a little more mental toughness than they've had for whatever reason. Purdue just clobbers them, so I'll go Iowa too.
Number 10, Purdue versus number 7, Ohio State.
I think Chris and I disagree here. Chris, why don't you want to? Because I think Ohio State wins this game. I think they're the better team. Purdue can
I think they should, and I think they are the better team.
Yeah.
I don't think they will. I just.
Why do you like Purdue?
Just because Purdue is so all over the map. You just don't know what you're going to get. And I think when you put them in a neutral court, I don't know. I just think is something about this Purdue team that I can't put my finger on why they win certain games and why they lose certain games. So I just think that to me is just
the one. How have they done against Ohio State this year?
That's to me. They lost to Ohio State by 16 at Ohio State. And then I believe they may have only played them once. I think they only played them once.
Played them once.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like it's some mental hurdle for Ohio State or anything.
Yeah.
All right, final game in the second round, number 11 Indiana versus number 6 Penn State.
This is an interesting game. I think Indiana's probably in at this point, although it's and Penn State has just lost its mojo a little bit. They were great in the first half against Michigan. You know, they suspended Mike Watkins for the season finale, and then that team was out of sorts and lost to Indiana. By the way, a great play. Vegas was really late on that. They didn't even have – Penn State has so few beat writers that travel. I was talking to a guy who sets lines in Vegas. They didn't even have the information – in time to change the line at all. Not that Mike Watkins would greatly impact the line, but that team looked demoralized, changed their toughness. I don't know what's going on with Mike Watkins entirely, but I don't like this Indiana roster, and I like that matchup for Penn State. I think Penn State wins.
Yeah, I think Indiana wins this one. I just, you know, I think there's still the whole thing of just getting to that point where you want to make sure you're in. And, you know, once you, and this goes back to the ability to play that first game and a couple games and getting hot, I think they win that one.
All right, moving on to the quarterfinals
upset.
Here.
That's my upset.
Moving on to the quarterfinals here. Number 1, Wisconsin versus either number 8 Rutgers or number 9 Michigan. I believe you both said Wisconsin would lose this game.
You agree with that? I mean, I thought Michigan was going to win. You thought Rutgers was going to win, but we both think the winner of that game beats Wisconsin.
Yeah, I really do.
I think it doesn't speak to our lack of faith still in Wisconsin, which we probably should get over because they've been really good lately. But I still don't entirely believe in them, and I think both those other two teams are going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look back at the season. I mean, they lost at Rutgers, but a lot of teams lost at Rutgers. Rutgers 18-1, and I think Rutgers has a lot to play for, even though they're probably in, because people think, well, they see that 2-8 road record, and you know, 18-1 at home. Can you do anything away? This would be one of those games that's impactful.
And this is the first time that program has gotten to be in this thing where they have a chance to do something, and they know they have a chance. And so, if they're in that still, I like them. And Michigan, I feel the same way.
All right, number 4, Illinois versus number 5, Iowa.
That's right back to that finale.
It's a great matchup.
It's a great game.
It's a great matchup, and it'll come down close because I don't. Here's a situation where I'm going to go Iowa, even though I think it's really, really close here, because I'll just go to the team that played the day before and that advantage. Illinois just having won that matchup, but I actually think Iowa is a slightly better team. I think Illinois overachieved a little bit this year. I liked them going into the year. Obviously, it was Dosunmu's big shots that gave them the record they had in a lot of ways. But and they were really good on the road. I like Iowa a little bit here.
Yeah, and I mean they split home and home. They could be end up being the game of the tournament, quite frankly. And I mean, I've got Iowa going on there. Just I like Dosunmu, and I think that Coburn and Georgie on the block are tough. But man, You know, I'm going to Illinois. I'm changing my mind.
Oh,
I'm
changing my
mind. Okay. I literally just talked myself
on the fly change.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I got sprung with this before this, so I didn't really put a lot of thought into it. So, yeah.
The third quarterfinal, number two, Michigan State versus Purdue or Ohio State? You have Ohio State.
I have Ohio State playing Michigan State, and I think Ohio State wins for a couple of reasons. One, I think Ohio State's really good. I think we saw that the other night. They won 9 of 11, first of all, in this Big Ten. They've found it again. They were up in the second half at Michigan State, and they got blitzed, and Michigan State played well, and Cassius Winston at home in his finale made sure they weren't going to lose. And I'm not saying Michigan State won't be motivated, but I'll tell you this. Tom Izzo was asked today about whether he cares about the Big Ten tournament or not and what he puts into it. And Tom Izzo said all these nice things about the Big Ten tournament. He did not say once how important it was to win it. And that stuff, players know it. Like, I've never covered a Michigan State team that's lost in the Big Ten tournament other than losing a final to Wisconsin in 2015, that team that had that surprise run to the Final Four. Where a team was heartbroken about losing.
Gotcha.
And that's what I've never seen. Like,
The Michigan game up in New York at the Garden?
Oh, that team was pretty dumb. But even that team.
That was probably the one.
It's been. Yeah, and that team didn't know if they were going to ever find it, and they didn't. They lost quickly in the NCAA tournament. I just think this is the perfect game for Michigan State. In other words, there's not a lot to lose. You just beat Ohio State. It's not like anybody's going to say you're not a great. You just want to share the Big Ten title. And, you know, I think Ohio State's as good as Michigan State. That's the other thing, or at least close. And will be motivated in this game having just lost to them. A team that I think thinks at its best, it's as good as it. I think the teams that are dangerous in this are teams that think they're as good as anybody here, but didn't have the regular season to do it. And this is where you prove it. Michigan State's been that team before. We've seen MSU have Denzel Valentine have an injury, and so they were out of the Big Ten race and then show up and look great and win the tournament. We've seen MSU prove it with Brandon Dawson and that group when they didn't win it. I'm going to Ohio State.
Yeah, I could see that. I see your argument, but of course I had Purdue. And what's interesting is these are both one plays. These are both one play games from this year. I think Michigan State against Purdue, you want to show that you've built and grown since that drubbing that you took at Purdue. I think it's an important game for them. I think it's also important to continue the momentum. I think Michigan State wins against Purdue in that game.
All right, last quarterfinal, number three, Maryland versus either Penn State or Indiana.
I have Maryland, Penn State, and I'm going to go Maryland. I think, but I like the match. I think it'll be a really good game. I think Penn State is worthy of beating them.
Yep, I've got. That's where Indiana's luck runs out for me. I think Maryland's just got too much and too many good players and too much depth.
All right, Chris, I'm going to go on to your semifinals: Rutgers versus Illinois and Michigan State versus Maryland.
Yeah. I probably should change that Iowa winning that game because I don't think that would happen now if they're getting knocked out. They don't just get a bye there. I'll go Illinois. I think Illinois's got that inside-outside game to be able to handle Rutgers, and I think that, you know, it's an important – and again, you know, for Illinois in particular, is a team that was up there in the top of the standings for a lot of the year and didn't get a share of the title. I think this is their title run.
I think it's Iowa-Michigan. I have Iowa winning that game.
Okay, and the second one? Chris, you have Michigan State versus Maryland, and Graham has Ohio State versus Maryland.
I got Maryland on this one. Just I think that's where Maryland's got a lot to play for. They've come from an environment where these tournaments matter in the ACC, where it's and that's one thing that Tom Izzo did talk about, how the Big Ten tournament doesn't necessarily carry the same cachet as an ACC or a Big East tournament, and now you've got a team that played in those ACC tournaments and puts a value on it. I think that's where Maryland, and it's a talented team too. I think that Maryland gets them in that game.
Yeah, I'm going Maryland here over Ohio State. I like Maryland, and although I like Ohio State, I think that's a great game. You know what? Yeah, I'll go Maryland. I'll stay Maryland. I think that's a great game.
The 2020 Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament Championship. Chris, Illinois versus Maryland. Who you got?
Surprisingly, I changed on the fly again. And I think the Illinois-Maryland matchup would be a wild one to watch with Coburn against their bigs. I think that Dosunmu carries them to that title that they've wanted. They didn't get the share of the Big Ten title. This is their Big Ten title. I got Illinois winning.
All right, and you have Iowa versus Maryland.
And so this is Iowa's fourth game in 4 days, and that rarely works out well. And so that's where I think their legs aren't there. Maryland, I don't like the matchup for Iowa. I'm going Maryland. So Maryland beating Iowa for the Big Ten tournament title. And that's it.
Any final thoughts?
Well, we'll see if we'll see you in Indy.
Yeah, we'll see if any of this. Yeah,
yeah. We'll see if any of this even happens.
We may be quarantined next week. Where do you think, what bunker do you think we'll do this from next week?
I think we'll have to buy some audio equipment, and I'll be recording this from my apartment, and then you guys both calling in on separate lines.
We'll split it.
I will start digging. There's going to be a hole underneath in the backyard, and we will do it from underneath that.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Spartan Speak, a production of the Lansing State Journal, Detroit Free Press, and the USA Today Network. If you enjoy this podcast and the work surrounding it, please consider subscribing. You can follow our coverage at lsj.com, freep.com, and on Twitter at @Graham_couch, @Chris Solari, @Phil_front, and @LSJ_GreenWhite. Thanks for listening.